Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
To the show. Wow, what an exciting time it is right now with only 4 weeks basically left in the year. Oh my gosh, everybody's in a panic mode right now to try to make the end of the year work, right? Let me welcome everybody. Again, I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. And I'm a business coach. I'm in Frisco, Texas, right outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I welcome you to the show. Want you to sit back and relax a little bit, listen. Feel free to drop me a question at questions@ecjgroup.com. I'll attempt to get them answered during the show. If not, we'll certainly cover them in the weeks to come. And I got a lot of things I want on my mind right now to talk about with the end of the year, how to look back at this current year with what you've got, and how to take some understanding of the time and the season, especially for those in the U.S. here who just celebrated Thanksgiving. What a wonderful time it was, though we had a lot of rain here, and it's kind of overcast, though the rumor is that the sun's going to come out tomorrow, which will be a welcome sign. We haven't seen the sun here in several days. So that being said, I wanted to kind of pass on a little bit to remind people to try not to get overwhelmed at this time of the year. It can be very complicated with all the family stuff going on, with the holiday pressures, no matter what holiday you necessarily celebrate this time of the year. I speak from a standpoint of a friend of mine that I went to school with. I found out a week and a half ago that he passed away. It was sudden, and his funeral was this past Saturday, which I attended, and had a good attendance there, you know, a lot of people paying respects, and quite a few of my classmates. I think there were 13 or 14 of us there, most of which, you know, we're all local. Not all of us are local. The ones that were local that I knew were there. And it's a sad set of affairs. We're not that old. We were, in fact, I had seen him just 3 or 4 weeks earlier to talk about. We were having a meeting with our high school to talk about our 45th high school reunion. They give you an idea of how old I am. So I always wanted to kind of express the area, the time in this, I'm a little tongue-tied here, I'm sorry. This time of the year always seems to can become overwhelming for people. I experience it occasionally. You've got family coming in. You've got business that you're trying to clear up at the end of the year. You've got preparations for next year's business. These are all things that can put a lot of pressure on you if you allow that pressure to happen. I always suggest people to, first of all, feel free to sit back and relax a little bit. It's a good time to review, of course. You should always be reviewing your goals for this year, for 2015. And it's a good time to start looking at your 2016 goals and figure out how do I need to prepare so that come January 2nd when I'm back at work, or January 5th, depending on what days you go back, because let's see, this would be the 4th, is a Monday. We want you to hit the ground running. And I've heard it recently, too, that people are kind of getting in the idea of, you know, SMART goals don't work and you shouldn't use SMART goals. And I think that I think there's a message here that's being lost in translation here, because the problem is with what you define as a SMART goal. I heard somebody talk about it here, you know, a SMART goal, you know, okay, it's specific. Okay, I want to make $5,000 by February 1st. Okay, well, that I don't classify that as part of a SMART goal. Yes, that's a specific dollar amount, but that's not really a goal. That's the outcome of a goal is the way I look at it. It's got to be measurable. Okay, that's easy enough to do. It's got to make sense to it. Okay, it's got to be attainable. So what do I define as a SMART goal? Well, first of all, a SMART goal has to be part of your overall goal plan. And yes, it's going to be tied to money to some degree, but that's only a very small part of it, because that's a way to measure that you're being successful. And you don't have to tie it to money. most people do, because that's unfortunately what it takes to make the world go round, in a matter of speaking. You know, we function on money. So when you're sitting down to create a SMART goal and you need to create something that is specific, what does that mean? What do you go about? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to go back and look at your vision and your mission. What is your mission in your company and your vision, long-term vision, as to how you're going to complete your mission? Once you've got that, then you look at your goal for, well, let's look at the goal for 2016. Now, instead of making a dollar amount, and even if you do make it a dollar amount, you have to make it back to a physical quantity. So I want to make $1 million. I want my net income for 2016, and I'm throwing this number out there. It's not necessarily a number I believe in for myself, and I'd love to have $1 million right now. Wouldn't we all, right? So let's say in 2016, my net income is going to be $1 million. Okay. So now I have the end result is going to be a measurement of $1 million. But how do I get there? What pieces fit into that puzzle to get me there? That's the next question that you have to answer. So I have, you know, four or five kind of lines of work that I do, from full onset coaching to basically a membership program where I provide information on a weekly basis. It's more of a do-it-yourself, but they're all areas that would roll into that $1 million outcome. So my next question is, okay, what percentage will be from each piece of the pie? So now I can break that down into dollars and cents, in a matter of speaking. So from my full coaching program, maybe 25% of my income is going to come from that. Okay, so of $1 million net, and I keep saying net, so because that's got to be after expenses. So I don't have all that information with me right now. So I'm going to just kind of give you some raw information here, and it still has to be massaged a lot. And this is an assignment that you have to sit down and take some seriousness to when you're trying to figure out what year 2016 or 2017. To me, it's not too far to look at 2020. It's 4 years and a month away. It's not that far away. I was talking to a prospect earlier today, and we were talking. He's not a client yet, and I asked him because he's having some issues with jumping from project to project and trying to figure out what flow and how to stay focused. And my question is, well, I said the first thing is as important it is to figure out what you want to do in 2016. My real goal for you to find out is what's your exit strategy, or where do you want to be 10 years from now? And in his particular case, he still has children at home. And I said, well, when will the children leave the house? When would you become an empty nester? And he said about 8 years. So 8 years from now would be 23. And I said, okay, so let's plan on 8 years. So in 2023, what would you like to do? Do you want to walk away from the business? Do you want to be able to sit on a beach and watch the business run without you? Do you want to sell the business? These are all options you have to sit down and figure out. Now, once I have that information, and we're not there yet because he's not a client yet, so there's a lot more that would be involved. I'm kind of just giving you a broad overview. Call it a 100,000-foot view. But once we get that kind of where we want to be in 2023, let's start backing it up and figuring out what's it going to take to get to where he wants to be in 2023, starting in 2016. What do we have to do? So when you're looking at 2016, as I say, I have you. You take all the different lines of income that you produce for your business, and you break it out first of all in kind of a percentage, and you can do this from a historical standpoint of what you've done in the past as to where you think you'll be going, if it's going to stay the same, or if you don't have that history to work off of, you would go forward and generate what you think it'll do. Okay, I think this line of work is going to give me 25%. This other line of work may only give me 10%, and so forth and so on until you have all your different lines of work. Now you take that $1 million and you break it out by that percentage. So I've got $250,000 in my full coaching class, my full coaching requirement, which provides a certain amount of time each month for clients. It's a select group. I have a very, it's a closed group. So, and once I have that all determined, then I figure out, okay, so to get 250,000 clients, we're going to do some round numbers. To get $250,000 for that, I need 10 clients, okay? That's $25,000 per client for a year. Now, how many clients do I have to talk to, or how many prospects before I can close one? So for every, we'll say five, it's a number right now that I'm pulling out of the air, but I'd go back through my history and figure what I've done in the past. So for every five clients that I talk to, I close one at $25,000 a year. Okay, so, and I need 10. So I have a 20% close, right? I close one out of every five, a 20%, excuse me. I think I said that. So if I talk to five and I close one, how many do I have to talk to close 10? I've got to talk to, what, 100 to close 10? No, 50? So you get the idea of where I'm talking about, and my numbers are kind of rattling around in my brain now right now, and giving me a headache, so we'll move forward. So it's very important, and you go through this for each one of your categories. Now you have very specific, measurable goals. Okay, yes, I want $1 million, but that $1 million is made up of X number of new clients in one line of work, and an X number of clients in another line of work, and that gives me measurable devices that I can start tracking. And then I do course corrections as I go along. After the first, you know, after the, whether I choose to course correct on a weekly basis, a daily basis, a monthly basis, does not matter. So we'll continue this discussion right after these breaks. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're on Ohm Times Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Being a radio host on iOhm FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM. Part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR-FM. Again, as we were talking before we went to break, we're talking about goal setting and the importance of what I call SMART goals. I get some disagreements from people. I've heard this before. And I think the real definition here is making sure you define what you mean by a SMART goal. A SMART goal is not just a number. It's got to have some meat to it, you might say. It's got to have some substance to it. And again, one of the important things about a SMART goal is it's got to be measurable. So it's got to be measurable, and it's, and not just measurable, but you've got to track it. You've got to keep an eye on it on whatever time frame you want, whether you look at it weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever. You know, the only thing I want to insist that you not do is look at it annually. You've got to look at it at least monthly. Ideally, you look at it weekly, so that as you're moving through, you break your goal down from your annual goal to a quarterly, and from a quarterly to a monthly, and then maybe even from a monthly to a weekly. It's the only way you can make sure that you're on course. It also helps to figure out, was my goal a reasonable? Because I've talked to some people, and I've got a coaching friend, and she was back in April. She said that she had a client that had set a goal and was already 125% above that goal in April. Well, that's great. But my question is, why was the goal so low then? Or maybe his expectations, or maybe he needed to change his approach to the goals, and it should have been set a lot higher. Because the problem I see from a human being standpoint is that we get an issue is, okay, you know, I made 125% of my goal in April. Now what do I do? Or maybe I'll take the rest of the year off. Well, is that really what you want to do? And of course, if you do that, when you come back in January, that's going to be hard pressed to get you back into this, into that pace of meeting your goals. So it's not uncommon for me when I'm working with a client to have them push the envelope. When they come back and start looking at goals, you know, I've got a client as well. I want to make my net income this next year is going to be $1 million. And here's how I'm going to get there. And then I go back and I say, well, let's look at what kind of increases from the previous year does this give you? And we go back and we'll look at those. And I says, I don't know, is that challenging enough? What if you make that $1 million goal by May? What happens then? Does that mean you just take the rest of the year off? So a lot of times I will say, let's shoot for a higher goal. And it's okay to have a higher goal that you may or may not make. So $1 million is what you have to have. Okay. That's your baseline. But what happens if you had $5 million? What would that do for you? And can you run your business in such a way to get to that $5 million number? That generates another issue. And it's where you have to look and figure out what your long-term plans for your business are. And that being is what you're doing now, the processes and everything you've implemented, will it get you to that next level? If you're making $500,000 right now, will the processes you're using get you to $1 million? And it's not an answer that I can give you just without looking, but in most cases, my answer is going to be no. Just like I tell a company, if you're a $1 million company and you want to go to 2 million, you have to change your processes. You have to improve on them. And in a lot of cases, what that means is you have to give up control. You as a business owner have to give up control to go from million to 2 million. Just like if you're going to go from 2 million to 5 million, you have to change your processes. You have to improve upon them. You have to start working smarter and not necessarily harder. You may have to expand your staff. You have to give, which means if you're expanding your staff, you're taking away control from somebody and giving it to somebody else. And most of that times that somebody is you. It's an interesting fact that from a small business owner standpoint, as they become more and more successful, if they want to grow their business, the hardest thing that I have seen them do is give up control. It is and I understand it completely. It's their baby. They grew it up. They made it what it is today, and they want to make it even bigger and better. But to make it bigger and better, they have to let go. You know, if your business is, especially if your business has been out there and it's, 5 to 10 years old, first of all, congratulations. If you have a business that's over 5 years old, congratulations. You, especially from a small business standpoint, you have exceeded the norm, because most small businesses don't make it 5 years. I've talked to quite a few. It's not uncommon. Unfortunately, it's too common to see in one of the business magazines or newspapers I get that covers this area, I'll see all these reports of new stores opening, And it's not uncommon to find 6 or 8 months later some of those closing because they went in underfunded. Their product's not unique enough. They can't didn't grab attention of the they didn't get the word out. You know, it's I'm a member of the local chamber here, and I'm part of the ambassador groups. And one of the things we do as an ambassador is we go out to new businesses in the area, and we do ribbon cuttings, and we welcome them to the environment, to the neighborhood, and we're a point of kind of promotion for them. We help them get the word out to other businesses and to other people that here's a new place in town. I had a ribbon cutting this morning at a new place. Knew nothing about it going in, other than the type. They do street tacos, they offered us, they gave us lunch, and it was very. I had one bite. I had one small taco because I had another appointment. I couldn't stay to eat. But that's neither here nor there. But the interesting thing is he, as the owner explained, this was his fourth location, but yet I had never heard of the company. He wasn't a big chain. His other three locations are in smaller towns. So this is his big first venture into a larger town. And Frisco, while not huge, is still 150,000 people and growing. And compared to 10 years ago, it is huge. It's one of the fastest growing communities in this area. In fact, in the whole U.S. And it's a situation. So, but the other problem that kind of was addressed, and he talked about it himself openly, the building he's in is, or the structure of the restaurant he's in he's about the fourth or fifth restaurant since that building was constructed. So is there a cloud on that building? You know, in some respects, you know, people say, yeah, well, nobody goes here because it's too hard to get to. Well, I don't buy that because right next door to him is an IHOP. And IHOP is always busy, or seems to be. Now, there's certain times it's not, but you drive by the IHOP and people don't seem to have a problem finding the IHOP. And there's like some other, I think there's a, what else? Is there? There's a wing, some type of wing place over in the, not next to him, but around the corner from him. So I don't think it's a location issue, other than some people think it is. And if you go into that mindset, yes, you're going to have some problems. You've got to overcome that mindset to make your, and basically promote. If you don't promote yourself, nobody's going to hear about you. Now, how do you promote yourself? Well, that's a whole nother, I mean, marketing is a whole nother story. And it's something I help clients work with. So let's move back to SMART goals so we didn't get too far off the area we were talking about here. Remember, SMART goals are one that are constantly changing from the standpoint that you have a end number you're aiming for, or an end result. And it's got to be, it's got to make sense, and it's got to be measurable, as I said. And it's got to be specific. But not necessarily, and I keep telling people, I don't necessarily want to your specific number to be dollar signs, other than that is part of the measurement that you're doing. Because, you know, I want to add 25 new clients to my business, or I want to add 100 customers to my business, you know, if you're a retail location, or I want to serve 1,000 people a month. I want to sell 1 million widgets. Those are all specific, not necessarily tied to money, but yet they're measurable by money. Because you'll know you're successful by the money you bring in, right? So that's one of those issues that when you're talking about SMART goals, that I understand the philosophy behind them. There's articles in Forbes. I think I've seen an article in Fortune. I've seen a couple of people have little bitty webinar introductions. We'll talk about some webinar online marketing here, maybe after the break. But it's an area that you've got to be reasonable with. The overall issue is that if you don't measure what you're doing, you're lost already. And you've got to be consistent in your measurement. My suggestion for measurement is at least monthly, with course corrections every quarter to figure out what you're doing right and wrong, what's working and what's not working. As I told the prospect earlier today, my minimum package for working with anybody is 90 days. Because it's going to take us 30 days to figure out what's going on, 30 days to come up with ideas to implementation, and 30 days before you'll see any result. at minimum. And depending on the type of business you're in, it could take longer. So I can't work with any, you know, if you come in, sit down with me and figure a week later you're going to see results, it doesn't work that way. I love these companies that I get a call on occasionally that promote SEO, and it says, we'll have you at the top of Google in 60 days. No, you won't. Not no way possible. It's just not feasible. Especially now, you know, with everybody else trying to do the same thing. If you told me that you could have me in front of Google for my area, because all I care about really from a local standpoint is my area. Now, internationally is different. But for my area, you can have me number one in 6 months, 6 to 9 months. I might buy that, depending on what you, but give me an idea what it's going to cost me. More reasonably, I'd say a year. And that means, and there's a lot of work involved with that. That's another issue that just has to be looked at, that you have to determine how do I go about getting this to work. So when you're looking at SMART goals, and when we come back after the break, we're going to change to another topic here to finish up the rest of the hour. But when you're looking at SMART goals again, come up with a plan. It's time to look at 15 and review it. Figure out what you're going to do for 16 and maybe even 17. Have an idea a little farther out. Break it out into your different categories of areas you're covering. If you have one item, that makes it simple. But break that down to how many customers you need and how many clients you have or how many people you have to talk to get a customer. Break all those numbers down and then put it on a spreadsheet. Put it on a piece of paper. Create some type of daily report if necessary. It's kind of a flash report so that shows you how much money you have in the bank and how much, and we'll talk about this more as we move forward towards the end of the year, what a flash report is. I read about this the other day and I like the idea. Again, you're listening to Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and we're on OTR-FM, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is OTR-FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. And I want to continue on. Again, welcome to the show. If you've listened to the first half hour here, we talked about SMART goals and setting goals for 2016 and into the future, as well as looking back at 2015. I recognize the whole issue here. It gets complicated, but I want to change directions here a little bit. We'll talk about SMART goals again before the end of the year, at least one more time, and kind of get it into perspective, and maybe go through a full example of because I teach some courses on SMART goals and how to use them and how to figure them out. And one of the things I always tell people that you have to do with your goals is you have to include your personal life. One of the most important things, I think, from a coaching standpoint is helping business owners, especially small business owners, come to a work personal life balance that works for them and for their family. And that can be difficult. You have a new baby, in a manner of speaking, which is your business, and you want to do everything necessary to make it a success. And I agree with that 100%, but you want to do it without killing yourself, because that kind of defeats the purpose. So, and this time of year becomes very stressful. And one of the questions that in fact came up in a meeting, a network meeting I had this morning, was how many people have given up for the rest of the year? Basically, everybody's busy. Nobody wants to talk to me. I run into that all the time. I run into it all the time, really. Before Thanksgiving, it's, I can't do it. Thanksgiving's coming up. Can you check with me after Thanksgiving? I go back to them. And we try. I got a couple of projects I have to get done before the end of the year. Check with me early next year. We'll sit down then. And then I go back to them early next year. You know, the year just started. I'm not sure what I'm doing. You know, those are just excuses. And I know what they are. And part of it is that they don't want to address the issues at hand. In talking to a prospect earlier, he's got a lot of issues that he's trying to deal with that in growing his business. He's got a unique opportunity, I think, to really expand his business if he wants to. I'm not convinced he wants to. I don't know if he's even thought about that. So there's some issues there. We're still in I find when I talk with clients or prospects, it takes 3 to 5, even 7 conversations before they have enough understanding that what I do and the information I provide is a return on investment, not an expense. And you wonder, and all coaching should be that. Should be a return on investment. You may spend, $1,000 a month or even $500 a month, depending on the program you're in, so let's say you spend $1,000 a month and so that's going to cost you $12,000 in a year. That's a lot of money, especially for a small business owner. But if that $12,000, if you get a return of $150,000 or even $50,000, is that worth it? If it costs you $12,000 and you netted $50, okay, which means you've got what, 38, you made 30, your end up net is, well, you made 50, your net would be 38, because we'll assume all the other expenses are out of that 50. Is that not worth it to you? Now, I can't answer that question. That's a question you have to come up with yourself. And let's not stop at 50. If that, and I'll make it a number that's round so it's easy. So let's say it's going to cost you $25,000 for my services for a year. And I in turn that around and help you create a $250,000 increase in your business. Okay, so $250,000, it costs you to give me $25,000. You ended up with an extra $225,000. Is that worth it in your business? I can't answer that. I really can't. That's a question you have to come up with your own mind, that yes, it's worth it, or no, I can do that without help. Okay, great. If you can do it without help, that's fine. And more power to you. I'm not going to get in the way of anybody. I'm not going to work with anybody that doesn't want to work with me, and it will not offend me. And most coaches won't be offended, because I'm not easy on people. I'm persistent. I'm an annoyance at times. I'm that person sitting on your shoulder telling you is that a good idea? I'm never going to tell you not to do something. I'm going to ask you to break it down and figure out why you should or why you shouldn't do it. Look at both sides, and then you have to make your decision. I'm not going to tell you. That's my line of drawing from a coach. I won't give you an answer. I will help guide you. I will ask questions appropriate for the answers that I think you may need to figure out for yourself. If I give you an answer, I become a consultant. And if I become a consultant and it doesn't work, you can blame me, even if you didn't implement it the correct way. On the other hand, if I'm a coach and I offer you advice and I help you work through that advice and I stick with you so that we can do course correction as we're moving forward. That's to me is what a coach does. Much different environment than a consultant. That's why I don't classify myself as a consultant. So let's talk about, for the rest of the remainder of the show, let's talk about the next big step that I see that's very important in making 2016 a more successful year than 2015, and that's called marketing. It's that nasty word that everybody knows they have to do it, and nobody knows what that means or how to do it. And let's break it down even more, because there's tactical marketing and there's strategic marketing. Tactical marketing is the hands-on of getting information to individual people that want your product. Strategic marketing, in a nutshell, basically is how to find that person, how to find that ideal person that's your customer. Because which would you rather do? Would you rather have 100,000 people, let's call it in the Rose Bowl? You know, we've got the Rose Bowl coming up here in what, 30 days? Well, technically 31, 1st of January. And I guess the championship game is not until after that. But I've got 100,000 people in the Rose Bowl that may or may not want your product because they don't even know what your product is yet. So you can there's a couple of options here. You can buy an ad that will put a piece of paper in everybody's seat. Okay. Or you can put an advertisement out somewhere that people will see, maybe a billboard, okay, at a lower price, and it will say, are you interested in this? If so, go here. And you can give them a website, you can give them a location to go to. You know, if you're interested in buying my product, go meet in section 100. We have those seats reserved just for people that are interested in my product. So now all of a sudden that 100,000 people has become 1,000. Now you have 1,000 people that you know are interested now specifically in your product, and you can generate a campaign right around them. Whether you just send them an email or you follow up, or we do what's called a drip campaign. Everybody knows what a drip campaign is. You just didn't know it was called a drip campaign. And that's a campaign of basically direct advertising, whether you do it in the mail or by email. It's all the same thing. Just technology's gotten there. We've had direct campaigns in the mail for years. It's where you mail a piece of, you know, you get cards sent to you on a regular basis, usually in the mail. Not as much now as it used to be, because now it's all being done online. So the important part is to figure out from a strategic standpoint who your ideal client is. Once you've identified that, how do you get your ideal client? And then from a tactical point, once you've identified your ideal client, then you promote your materials to that ideal client. So in marketing, the other thing that I find very important, and I stress on this, and even I have forgotten at times, and that it's networking. And you ask, well, why do I need to network? Well, you want to network because you want to get the word out to people that can help you. Your best source, you have two very good sources. One is your previous customers. A, you should never forget your previous customers. They are your best client. First of all, they've already bought from you once, so they already know your product, and and more than likely, unless you have a one-time product, they're going to buy again from you. That's number one. And even if you do have a one-time product that they will only buy it once, they're a referral source for you. Go send a message out to them and say, hey, we're looking for new clients. Can you help us? Would you be a referral source for us? I know a couple of companies that I work with, that people I know that pay for their referral sources. I've got one guy that will pay that if you give him a referral and he signs that client up as his customer, he'll give you $1,000. Now, isn't that easy money? All you have to do is give him some referral sources. Now, I'm not telling you to go in the yellow pages or, oh my gosh, the yellow pages or the white pages and just tear out some names and give it to them and hope they, you know, no. These are people that, first of all, if you do that, you're going to create all sorts of issues. Conceivably, people get mad at you if they find out you're doing it. No, you want to refer legitimate sources. So let's say you got a landscaper looking for referral sources. This particular guy was a cable, was an internet provider. So let's go back and do that. Let's do the internet provider. So this is a, and this is business internet, or this is business wiring, not home wiring. So he provides, he has a local network. He has a local cable company that provides high-speed internet service, okay? We're not talking TV or cable, but we're talking internet service. So he pays $1,000 for a new client on a referral source. So you go in, and a friend of yours just is opening a brand new building next door to you. And you ask him, okay, hey, are you looking for internet service? Yeah, I am. All right, there's your referral source. Now, it's up to you. Ideally, I would ask him permission before you gave him the name to the internet company. And you tell him, hey, I got this good friend of mine. He's in the internet business. He might be able to hook you up at a good price. So there's a referral source. So former customers, current customers, very important in maintaining your business structure and in improving your business. Then there's, how do you find new clients? How do you find new customers? That's where networking comes in, because you need to get the word out. We'll talk more about networking here in just a couple of minutes. We're getting ready to get up on a break side, so I don't want to get involved too much on that yet. But it's very important. I always look at the different places I network. I always decide which ones to go to, what value is it, and you have to follow up with networking. And we'll talk more about this after the break here. But you can't just go into a networking, say who you are, give your 30-second spiel, your elevator speech. That's another long story that we should talk about as to what makes a good elevator speech. And then expect people just to come pouring at you, not unless you're giving away diamonds or something. Yeah, maybe that would work, or gold bullion. But you've got to, once you've created that invitation, once you've gone to a networking event and you've got some contacts, you got to follow up with them, because people deal and work with people that they know. And you know, we always say that they know, like, and trust. So again, you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our 9th season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on ohmtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Being a radio host on iOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR FM. Part of the iOM Radio Network.
Shower. I am the business therapist. And for the last 45 minutes or so, we've been talking about preparing for 2016. We've talked about SMART goals. And we've talked about a little bit about marketing and some networking. And I want to get more back into to the idea behind networking. And it's an issue that you have to do. It works. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But you have to do it right to make it work, which means you just can't go one time, figure out who you want as a customer or who might be helpful to you, hand out your business cards, never to be seen again. That's not networking. That's, well, I'm not sure what you would call that. Some people would be talking about card hogs or something like that, people that just take their business cards and hand them out to everybody and expect something by that. I don't recommend that. It doesn't work anymore. I don't know if it ever did work. It's a situation that you have to do networking properly. You have to be attentive to it. You have to pay attention to the meetings. You have to have a excellent elevator speech that is repeatable, which means you give it the same way every time. I'm guilty of this too. I change my elevator speech too many times. You want people to know who you are by your elevator speech a lot of times. The other thing I always like to tell people is that you go to a networking event, you get a bunch of business cards. Now, it depends on the type of networking event you go to. I'm actually going to an event this evening. It's more like a happy hour. It's a group of business. Most of the group of people there I know from other venues, though there'll be some new ones. And I will get a handful of business cards more than likely. And every one of those business cards, I'll come back and I'll enter them into my CRM list. And I'll tag them as follow-up necessary. And it will be nothing more than a quick email saying, hey, it was great meeting you. And let's get together for a one-on-one. I'll buy you a cup of coffee or something. If it's somebody that I think has made a comment that we need to talk or something, I might even offer to buy lunch or we'll meet for lunch. It doesn't have to be either way. And but that follow-up is what's important. It's the next step. Even if I never see the people at a networking event again, I'm still going to follow up. Even if they blow me off and don't want to meet with me, I'm okay with that, but at least I have followed through. Now, the other type of networking event are the ones that happen weekly. And, you know, you get them through Meetup or you find them out. I've got one group that's not part of Meetup that I found out through a friend of a friend. And it's become a very, very good group for me. It's and the process there is a little different. But on the other hand, it works the same way. If it's a closed group, which means they only allow one person of your industry in that group, and the idea is to exchange referral information, then you have to find a group that it's like a BNI, but it's not a BNI. And BNIs work for some people and for others, they don't. So BNIs are one of those things that you just have to go in and figure out, is it right for you? And I can't answer that. For me at this time, the BNIs in my group don't work. So I've chosen not to be part of it. And there's a lot of issues behind that. If somebody wants more information, I'll be happy to talk to them offline. Just drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com and I can give you some more insights into it. But when you're going into a networking group, A, you want to have a consistent message. You got to have business cards, plain and simple. I am astonished at the amount of times I go in and I start handing my business card out and somebody says, oh, I forgot my business cards, or I handed them all out and didn't bring enough. Really? You can't throw a box in your car, so you always have enough with you. You just have to remember to reorder them. You know, put on your business card, you know, when there's a group left that, you know, put a little piece of paper there, order new business cards. I don't buy that you ran out of business cards. It's not a sign of professionalism. It's an area that needs to be worked on. I also, from a business standpoint, I'm not a big fan of anybody that has an email address using Hotmail, Outlook, Yahoo, Google, Gmail, none of those. If you are in business and you want to be professional about your business, go buy a domain. A domain will cost you $12 a year, maybe $20 a year. That's an expensive domain, but I'm going to say $12 a year. I think GoDaddy's it down in some areas is down to $8, depending on the domain. Find a domain, whether it be your name, whether it be the product you're promoting, whether it be something, you know, something more business oriented. I don't care. Just go buy a domain. Most domains now come with at least one email address. Go set that email address up. If you have more than one, then I'd set two up, one with your name on it, one with info on it or something like that, or service or support or something. And I would create if you have two email accounts, one of those should be a catch-all account. So anything addressed to your domain goes into the catch-all account. Of course, if you have more than one email account, you have to remember to go look at them. It's one of those situations that it's just you put it on your tasks of things that you need to do weekly, daily, whatever time frame you want to do it. So you've got a domain. You've got your own email address. It looks much more professional. You have it on your business cards. You have your phone number on your business cards. Now, if you have a brick and mortar shop of where you do your work, you should have your address. If you have if you work out of your house or something, you don't need your address on your business card. You might put your city in, but if you're not tied to your city, you don't need to put your city and state on there. Just, you know, ways to get a hold of you, which would be your email address and a cell phone number potentially. And if you don't have you don't want to use your personal cell phone number, use a Google Voice number. There are other opportunities out there to get other numbers that can then be relayed to your personal cell phone. Or if you really want to, just get another phone, get a business phone that you keep with you for business purposes. The advantage of that, of course, is at the end of the day, whenever your day ends, you can turn it off and let it all go to voicemail. You have to decide how you want that to work. So you're at a networking event. You've introduced yourself. You've been introduced by, you know, somebody may have asked you to come. You're in a whatever your area or industry you're representing is open, so you can become a member, provided you follow certain conditions, which you have to do. There might be some fees involved. What's the next step? Well, first of all, you have to decide, is this a group for me? And you can't decide that in one meeting. It normally takes two, and it could even take three. And you sometimes have, you know, most places will let you come twice. Sometimes they won't let you come three times. If the industry is already closed, then they probably won't let you come more than once. But that's okay. There's plenty of networking groups out there. In my particular instance, a lot of times, even though per se coaching is closed, there are so many different varieties of coaching that a lot of times it's not closed, and or the coach that may already be there doesn't care. They said, no, the more coaches, the better. And that's the way I feel about it. I don't think I've ever told a networking group that I want to close my industry down from other coaches, because I get along fine with other coaches. I get information from them. We exchange ideas. Other coaches, the way I look at it, I'm in a collaborative environment. I want other coaches who are out there that I know of, that if I can't handle something, I can pass it on to somebody I trust. So now that I've been to these meetings, I've gotten some ideas of people I want to talk to. The next thing you have to do is set up one-on-ones. That is very important. The one-on-one is a chance for you. It's a 30-minute or 45-minute meeting, and it gives you a chance to sit down and talk with them and find out more about who they are and what their business is. It also gives you a chance to tell them who you are, what your business is, and what your ideal client is, who you're looking for, who's your perfect customer. That if every customer was like this, you would have no issues selling them and you would be in heaven, right? So that and that takes time. I went into a new networking group actually on Monday. I'd been invited by a friend of mine. And interestingly enough, now there were two people there I knew already. One was the creator of this group. I didn't know he had this group. And then the person that invited me. Everybody else there was new. And I walked away with five one-on-ones. I had one today. It was supposed to be in person. We ended up doing it on the phone. I have two next week. And one sent me an email to set up a time. And I've got to look at my calendar. And he's got to look at his calendar. Some of these could be potential prospects. I don't know. Definitely could be referral sources. Could be just people want to know more about the type of coaching I do, and so they get a better idea of who they can point me at, who might fit their idea of needing help. So it's one of those situations that networking groups are can be very useful, provided you do the homework and you do the follow-up work. You track your people. There's CRM software packages out there, anywhere from free actually to a very expensive programs. I don't know. It just depends on what you need to fulfill the requirements of keeping track of your client base. Whether you create an Excel spreadsheet or some type of database and create your own, or whether you go out and buy a package like Salesforce or something, that's all up to you and depends on what you need. If you work for a large company, a lot of times they'll already have something in place, and then you just have to make sure you make use of it. So we're just about out of time here. I want to kind of wrap up some loose ends here. Again, recognize that this is a perfect opportunity for the next 4 weeks to get work done, that there's no reason why you can't close business during the next 4 weeks. You have to be a little bit persistent, not obnoxious, just persistent, and reach out there and talk to people. And if not, start making appointments for the first or second week in January, because they're, you know, whatever you're promoting and marketing, they're going to need your services. And if they don't, then you need to go find new customers. Look at new opportunities for networking. Go figure out what groups are you networking with right now that have not worked for you in the past, and figure out, why are they not working? Have I not done my due diligence, or they just don't fit me? And then go find new groups if that's what it takes, and start looking at new groups in January. It's amazing to me how fast this hour always seems to go. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. Feel free to drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com. And we'll see you all next week. Have a great week. This is Elliot Jolish and the Elliot Jolish Hour. And you've been listening for the last hour. I am the business therapist. You've been listening on OTR-FM. Y'all take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
This is OTR.